Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Right now, opportunity to talk some more SEC football. Doug Seeger is formerly with the Nashville Banner. He is a co-host on The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, always a pleasure. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you, Ballpark. It's good to be here.
9 days away. You know, to me, the fact that we get a preseason list from the coaches as far as preseason, all SEC, and I had a chance last hour to visit with Brad Nessler, the voice of the SEC on CBS, and you. I mean, to me, it says SEC on the way.
It's back, baby.
What did you think when you saw the list today as far as the preseason all-conference? I mean, to me, it shows you just how much the coaches in the league think about what Alabama brings to the table, especially the offense. I mean, when you're talking about that you have both wide receivers, you've got one of the two running backs in Najee Harris, you've got two of your four offensive linemen that is not the center, that means that you're expecting – more the same with the Crimson Tide?
Well, the known commodities. First of all, start with skilled guys. You're talking about three skilled guys who could have easily been, you know, top two-round, three-round picks in the NFL, but wanted to improve their chances. And then you've got an offensive line that returns mostly intact. There may be some changes, but that is because other guys have risen to the occasion and challenge some of the old timers. And two, it's Alabama. Listen, Kentucky has this great experienced offensive line, but it's more under the radar because, you know, they're not playing in the college football playoffs every year. But I'm telling you, Kentucky's offensive line may be every bit as good as Alabama's.
They are definitely the second best, if not, once again, a close tie with Alabama as far as the top offensive line. And one of the reasons why I look at Kentucky's schedule, look, I'm not going to be shocked knowing all the games as far as the practices and stuff like that that the Auburn starters have missed leading up to this game next week when they host Kentucky. I'm not going to be shocked if Kentucky goes down there and pulls out a win against the Auburn Tigers. I look at Kentucky's schedule, and they also got Georgia in their first seven games. It's a Kentucky team that could begin the stretch 6-1, you know, 5-2 at the worst.
Yeah, I think they're the most overlooked team going into the season. Again, you know, they got a quarterback back this year. And they've also proven that even with a third string quarterback / wide receiver, they can be productive. Say the grand system works. I'm not sure how good they're going to be defensively because they have been sending NFL guys off that defensive line. But this is a program now that we know develops talent. And usually has a good fix. This is a very solid program. Much the way Dan Mullen built something at Mississippi State, you know, every year they're competitive, and you saw Mississippi State have that one run. This may be Kentucky's year because there are questions at Georgia. We still don't know if Florida's ready to take command. So Tennessee's still on the way back up. And so while the East doesn't get a lot of acknowledgement, Kentucky is set for big things.
You know, we went through this earlier part of last decade, you know, when A.J. McCarron, along with Zach Mettenberger and Philip Marshall, when those guys went to the wayside and then you had the new crop of quarterbacks coming in. I mean, Aaron Murray, another example of one of those outstanding quarterbacks as far as the college ranks. You had that one-year lull there. And I look at what we had last year in the SEC at quarterback, and this group this year may be there by next year, but certainly taking you can't help but take a step backwards knowing you're losing the likes of a Tua Tagovailoa and a Joe Burrow.
Well, and you're talking about two guys who could, you know, if all goes well, could end up being Hall of Famers. I mean, they've got that potential. So this is a big step back. I think it's a big step up for defenses. I think this is a year, you're going to see kind of defense reassert itself because there's a lot of experience returning across the board on defense. You know, I think what kind of held Alabama back last year was inconsistent play, and I think they're going to be solid this year. Georgia, again, if you're picking Georgia to win, you're picking them not because of the skill talent on offense. You're picking them because of the how solid they are and athletic they are on defense. Florida, you know, I think they've got the most veteran quarterback now. But if they win a championship, it's going to be because they have a championship defense. So, in a way, this is kind of returned to about 5 years ago.
I will say this about Georgia. Their first six games, that's what they have to get through. When, you know, second week, they host Auburn. Fourth week, they're at Alabama. They also have another trip the following week at Kentucky, the open week, and then you get Florida. If they can navigate those first six, I mean, they've got the easiest four games of anybody in the SEC the way they finish, at Missouri, hosting Mississippi State, at South Carolina, and then hosting Vanderbilt to wrap up things.
I think if you look at their schedule as a whole, it's the most manageable schedule. There is no such thing as an easy schedule in the SEC this year, but it's certainly the most manageable. But they got to get there to manage it. And you're right. I mean, opening second game against Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and then Kentucky, Florida. I mean, that is as tough a five-game stretch as anybody in the conference. And, you know, you're going to have to go through there with a maximum of one loss to be in the hunt for a playoff unless, you know, it goes crazy all across the country.
And I will say the same thing about Florida. It's really strange when you look at the two best teams on paper to start this in the SEC East. Both Florida and Georgia have really very manageable schedules to wrap up things. Florida's last four, hosting Arkansas, then at Vanderbilt, hosting Kentucky, and then at Tennessee. It's almost like the similar kind of situation as Georgia, whereas you look at the teams from the SEC West, whether it's Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, or LSU, an entirely different story with the way those teams have to finish compared to, say, Georgia and Florida.
Yeah, I would contend that Florida's is a good bit tougher at the end just because of the Kentucky and Tennessee games. Now, we don't know where those programs be at that point of the season, but I think Tennessee continues to make improvements. They're still maybe a year or two away. Again, I think Kentucky is the dark horse. So, that you know, you could have a game, you could go in that game, it may even be a pick 'em contest at that point. So, I think Georgia has the benefit. Maybe Kentucky's or Florida's schedule is a little more spaced out and a little more manageable from that regard. You know, this is what I love, though. You know, you're going to compare schedules, and right now it's all on paper. But at the end of the year, I don't think you can say anybody had an easy road.
Well, but there are certainly easier ways to get to from point A to point Z. I mean, I look at Vanderbilt. They start off awful with at Texas A&M, then hosting LSU, and they wrap up bad too, you know, at Kentucky, hosting Florida, then Tennessee, then at Georgia. Vanderbilt's wins, it comes as far as starting that week three from South Carolina, at Missouri, hosting Ole Miss, and then at Mississippi State. Those are where the best possibilities and probability for wins for Vanderbilt this year.
Yeah, you've got a window of opportunity. And, you know, again, this is a team that's missed a lot of practice. And, you know, we don't know how this is going to affect everybody. Again, I think more than the players missing practice, it's spring practice. The loss of spring practice is going to hurt a lot of teams. And I think the two most vulnerable in that regard are going to be Auburn and LSU. LSU, because they have to replace so many frontline people, an offensive coordinator, quarterback, and Auburn, because you've got to pretty much put together an entire new offensive line, and you're losing, you know, 3 weeks of practice, full-scale practice, that is so instrumental in kind of creating this gel process where they kind of learn each other. And so that's why I think your pick of Kentucky is a possible upset. I think it's more than possible in that opener.
You know, the other thing, too, and I've been around teams that were championship-caliber teams. I've been around teams that were not very good, where we're talking about two-win type of teams. And, you know, the thing is, those when you're struggling to get a victory, you're putting in all that practice time, and you get nothing to show for it as far as when you show up on the field on that Saturday. You know, to me, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge when we look at Vanderbilt for Derek Mason and that staff, you know, week in and week out, especially early on, keeping the team together mentally to give them opportunities to get some W's during the course of the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a problem nationwide because this has been such an unusual year. You face so many adverse situations. And if things go south, you know, whether you're a contender or a preseason contender or whether your team's just trying to stay afloat, you know, there's not a whole lot of incentive down the stretch. I mean, you've done everything, Ash. You've given up free time. You don't see your family as much as you want. And I think things could spiral out of control. I also think that, though, that's a good reason for job security. It's going to be difficult to fire any coach this season under these circumstances because the circumstances are so different from school to school, depending on the virus, depending on your schedule. And now you're also looking at, and I think this gets lost in the equation, you're looking at an economic component. You know, right. If Will Muschamp is on the hot seat, how much money do you want to spend if he has a bad season buying him out and then hiring a new guy? The money may not be there.
I mean, I'm getting those emails now. I mean, I'm getting emails to tell me that I'm going to be getting phone calls and emails like from Florida State. And it's not for athletics. I'm talking about for the university. And they're already like setting up, hey, you know, the current students, they're getting ready to call you. So we just want to prepare you that they're going to call you. And I know what they want and I know what they need. And look, they're not alone. I mean, all of these universities, I'm not talking athletics either. I'm talking about universities to keep things going, to keep, you know, not losing particular departments on campuses that we've saw that has occurred over the past few months at some of these universities across the country as well. And these are unusual times. And I'm like you. I don't think what we would normally be talking about as far as hot seat, I don't think a hot seat exists as far as 2020, mainly because of the economics part of it.
Right. You just can't afford it. And for all the talk we make about the losses of football revenue, the university revenue losses are can be astronomical. And I think that's part of the reason everybody's trying to get back on campus. At least you can recoup some of the money with, you know, dorms and meals, even if you have an online classes. I'm not sure it's the best use of money. You know, I've got a son who's up at grad school and he's thankfully he's on scholarship, but you know, he's got a dorm room, he's got meals, everything's normal except they're online for classes. And it's just kind of an unreal world, but the universities need that to survive.
Tennessee, to me, especially from the offensive line standpoint, I still think they have one of the better offensive lines in the SEC, but they would certainly look that much better if you can say a Cade Mays in that starting lineup.
Well, yeah. I mean, and again, that's where they've been lacking the last few years. This is where they've probably made up the most ground, and now you've got a veteran quarterback in a year where you don't have a Burrow and a Tua. And you've got some skilled people, and you know, that makes a difference. That puts you on a different level if it comes together like that.
And Jared Garantano, I really think that mistake that he made in that Alabama game last year at the goal line, I've talked about this in the preseason as well. You know, these are opportunities where players can learn from that and move forward. And I think that's one of the reasons why when you hear the players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, talk about Jared Garantano, they're talking about the fact that he seems to have a total control of the offense. It's his team. And that's if you're a fan of the Vols, those are kind of words that you want to hear going into week one.
Well, I think he's already proved that here's a guy kind of like a relief pitcher mentality. He can go out and get shelled one day, and the next day it's all forgotten. You know, he's had some bad moments in his Tennessee career. There are times where everybody's written him off. He'll never see the field again, and he just keeps coming back, and he gets better. And, you know, I think that's a reflection of his work ethic, and I think it's also a reflection of kind of the personality of this team is starting to get under Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, he's going to be measured by X's and O's, but I think Pruitt's been one of the four, been one of the leaders in terms of handling all the social unrest with his team. I think he's listened to his team. He's been out there out front, and I think that resonates. I think you're going to see guys who want to play for him because of what he stood for.
The next best thing, what I'm getting ready to say, cannot wait, and because the next time we have a chance to visit with you, we'll be talking about game week in the SEC in September. And, you know, going back to our conversations in April and May, I didn't really think we could. Now, I thought we'd be talking about college football this year in the SEC, but I meant the calendar year, didn't necessarily be thinking it was going to happen in the month of September. So next week, looking forward to that. If you're not doing so, you can follow Doug on Twitter at D. Segrist, once again, co-host of the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. And he's a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, have a safe rest of the week. All the best to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. You stay safe.
I will, buddy.